and Rob for Teachers for a New Era. I'm talking with Jim Zubkovich, who is the publisher and an illustrator and author for Manga for Kids, which is part of Udon Entertainment. So, Jim, thank you for talking with me. And first, tell me, what's this about with Manga for Kids, and what's the objective with the company?
Okay. Well, Udon Entertainment, the company that I work for, we're a publisher, and we specialize in a lot of manga or anime style material that we've released over the last few years. Our Manga for Kids line is a new initiative. We've seen lots and lots of manga in bookstores and an explosion in libraries and really in book chains of the growth of the popularity of manga, especially in terms of the style of the artwork and the characters and the types of themes that they have in them. And so Manga for Kids is really about taking those same types of elements, and we found really high quality titles in Japan, translating them, bringing them over to the North American market, but for a younger audience, an audience that really doesn't have that kind of content available to them, but is very interested in that content. So ages 7 to 12, there's a lot of, that it's a great time for comics and reading, and to get people to become lifelong readers. And so we want to bring them content that they can get excited about, and also that's age-appropriate material.
So help us through this a little bit, if for people who might not have heard of manga but might not know what it means. First of all, where did manga start? I mean, where did it start geographically, but also age-wise, where did it start?
Manga is basically just Japanese comics. So comic strips or comic titles in Japan are now labeled worldwide as manga. That is the Japanese word for comics. And although it originated in Japan, the style and the types of tropes that are in those comics, or the types of stories that they tell, are really, they've become popular worldwide, and they've gained more and more acceptance all over the world, and have been translated into dozens of languages. So a lot of parents may not understand much about it, or they see these titles and they realize that their kids are interested in them, or very voracious readers of the material, but they might not know about it. So in short, they're Japanese comics. They usually have a specific, quite recognizable art style, and then the types of stories and elements that they have, they're not all universally the same, but you can see sort of similar themes cropping up again and again in the material.
So in thinking about something that might be a quick recognition thing with this, I mean, Pokemon, sure, for example. If you knew that, but you didn't know anything else, what would inform you of how that was manga?
Okay. Well, I think the most of the manga, when you look at it, there's a very simple kind of iconic linear style to the artwork. The facial features are very simplistic, they're very iconic, usually very large eyes, very expressive faces and emotions in the characters. So even if you didn't know previously what manga or anime looked like, if you saw a few pictures of it, you would never mistake it for American-looking comics or superhero comics or European types of comics. It's very distinct, and it jumps out as being its own artistic style and look and approach to storytelling.
Now, if you were to see the appeal of it, what is it about that style that you would, in your opinion, say has captured people? I mean, sure. It's worldwide, really.
It's really hard to say. I mean, there are tons of people who have, I mean, we all want to sort of know the absolute answer. What is the thing that makes something incredibly popular? What is the magic bullet, that to pierce the secret of making something that's so universally beloved? And I think that when you look at the artwork, there's a simplicity to it, and there's an instant recognizability to it in terms of the types of characters. They're very engaging, they're very emotional, they're empathetic, in some cases extremely cute or very stylish, but all of them are visually engaging, and they have an excitement about them, an energy about them. When you look at most anime and manga characters, there's an energy about the posing, there's an energy about the expressions, there's an excitement generated because of the types of drawings that are there. The style is simple enough that even someone who doesn't have a lot of art training could practice and get used to elements of it, but there's also a complexity to it that the deeper you go, you realize that there's more to it than you might initially think. It is very multi-layered on that level. On a surface level, you could look at it and say, oh, this is what manga looks like, or this is what anime looks like. But then the deeper you go, you realize that there's just as much depth or more so than a lot of other comic book type storytelling.
Now, one thing that I've thought about it is that it seems to be less gender specific than other kinds of comics.
Absolutely. One of the things that I personally find very compelling about manga is the variety of stories that are told. The North American comic book market, although it's broadening now in the last few years, has been very superhero boy centric. For decades, quite frankly. Although there were more girls comics in the, you know, the 40s and the 50s and potentially even the 60s, outside of like Archie comics or, you know, the occasional romance type comics, everything else has been very, very focused on male power fantasies. And the manga market never had that type of evolution. It's always had an intense variety of subject matter and at all age groups. And they don't assume that the medium is just for children, and they also don't assume that, you know, the medium has to take itself too seriously. They cover the broadest genres, the broadest thematics, and the broadest types of styles within their scope. So you can have stories that are romantic comedies, you can have stories that are, you know, sports dramas, or you can have historical stories, very, very realistically told, all within the scope of manga. And I think that it really becomes, it's a storytelling medium in that sense. And so just as you would go to a bookstore and you would pick up a really good mystery or a horror novel or something like that, you can find that kind of variety in manga in a way that the North American comic book market hasn't been sort of fully exposed to in quite some time.
So what do you see coming in with manga for kids? Where do you see your entry points with different parts of the market? I mean, teachers, librarians, I mean, what's your thinking in terms of where you're trying to reach out to, or are you going straight to the kids?
Sure. Well, it's really both elements of it. First and foremost, you've got to convince and you know, educate the educators about the medium and about the market, so that they realize that this, you know, there's always been a stigma. Not always, sorry, for the past few, I guess the past generation, there's been a stigma that comic books are a lesser form of literature, that they don't have worthy content, that they're sort of like the junk food of literature in a lot of ways, that you just eat it up and spit it out, and that there isn't, you know, really compelling things being done with comics. And it's just not true. Just as there are trashy novels, there are trashy comics, and just as there are really, you know, brilliant aspects of the medium, there are brilliant comic book or graphic novel stories being told all the time. And so manga is no different. So what we did was we wanted to find, it's bizarre that although sort of, you know, an older generation would consider all comics for kids, I grew up with, you know, comics for teens and comics for adults, and now the kids market's actually quite anemic in a lot of ways. There's not a lot of kid-friendly content being generated, and so we took the very popular art style that's, you know, the idea of manga and the teen and college level readers that love manga, and we said, you know what, those people are getting older. The generation that is being into manga is getting older. They're having kids, or they have nieces and nephews or cousins that are going to be into this stuff and wish that they were reading this stuff, but there's not a lot of age-appropriate material. There's not a lot of material that they should be picking up. The themes are a little bit too serious, or they're a little bit violent, or a little bit too racy visually, but they're still compelled by the art style. And so we went, did a lot of research on titles in Japan, found a host of titles that were age-appropriate, in this case, ages 7 to 12, vetted the material, carefully went over the content, translated the material, and for our initial launch, found four that we felt have the maximum potential because of the genres they represent, because of the quality of the art and the storytelling, and the themes that they have.
And what struck me, I mean, you're doing some really interesting things. You have sports, you have fantasy, you have magic, you have different, you have music even in, yep, in that. So if you could describe the books,
sure,
and tell us why they were chosen.
Okay, so we've got four different titles, and they all represent four different genres. We've got a music-based book, we've got sort of magic fantasy, we've got sports, and we've got science fiction. And I'm really proud of all four titles. So the first one is called The Big Adventures of Majoko, and it's all about a young girl who ends up befriending a sorceress who's in this magical world, and they become really good friends, and they go on adventures together. Really straightforward. They go to new places, they explore things, and they're kind of discovering things about their world around them and being put through little quests and challenges. Then you've got Ninja Baseball Kuma, which is very goofy and very anime sounding, ninja baseball. But you've got essentially the story of a young ninja boy who's grown up in the mountains and never been to the city and doesn't actually know that the modern world sort of exists, and he ends up inadvertently being recruited by a baseball team. So now he's going through all the trials and tribulations of trying to understand baseball while also trying to understand the modern world. So you've got kind of that classic character out of time sort of storyline, but you also have the idea of sports and friendship and competition all kind of put together. The third book is called Fairy Idol Canon. So it's all about a young girl who is a singer, and she wants to enter singing competitions quite young with a group of her friends, and sort of the stresses and the changes in her life that are going to happen, mixed in with a bit of a magical kind of an element. So it's got that, a bit of that kind of celebrity wish fulfillment, but it's also tempered with sort of the hard work and the difficult trials and tribulations that go into whether or not, you know, you're going to become famous. And then the fourth one is called Swans in Space. And it's a science fiction story, but it's for girls. Well, it's for anyone, but really there's two girls at the center of the story. So one of the girls is extremely shy and the other one is extremely popular. And the shy girl has a secret that she's actually part of this group called the Space Patrol. And secretly she goes off on missions across the stars trying to help people and meeting aliens. And inadvertently, the popular girl gets pulled into the Space Patrol, and the two of them have to learn to become friends and learn to work together, and also get to go on, you know, fun adventures and exploration together.
Which is really nice, because that's a genre that you know, girls certainly connect with fantasy much more than they do science fiction.
Sure. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to ensure that it really kind of, that these titles, you know, appealed to sort of the broadest base possible and didn't try and put it all into one aspect. These aren't, you know, one genre or one type of art style. They encompass a nice selection of manga art and also of genre and presentation, so that people can get a sense that there is a lot more out there and that, you know, this material has a lot of variety, you know, at its disposal.
Now, if people are interested in connecting with what you're doing, you have a website, which is mangaforkids.com. What are some of your plans people can look for down the road with this?
Sure. Well, the Manga for Kids website is really a crucial part of the whole release. We don't just want to release the titles out into the wild. We want to be able to have a resource that parents or teachers, educators can go to and find out more, not just about the titles. It's not just a catalog and selling the books. Obviously, there's ordering information on there, but more so, it's about resources, whether it's teaching resources and lesson plans or fun little games and things that kids can do around the material, or art lessons about how to draw characters in a manga style, you know, tips on throwing a manga party for your library or an event to get people reading. These are all the types of things that we want to have on the website and more, based on feedback we get from librarians and educators.
Well, Jim, thank you. This is great, and it's something that I know people have heard so much about and I think are probably going to be very, very interested, especially for kids at this age group.
Well, as a, you know, as someone who grew up reading manga and loving it, it's been a real pleasure to see the market grow so much and to now be involved with it. Honestly and truly, it's a passion for me and something that I want to see more of. And the better quality material we can get out there and the more we can educate people about the material, then the better it will be for everyone.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.